Hello, critics, non-critics, and friends. Welcome to the Film Optics Podcast, where we take a glance into blockbusters, indie films, and everything in between. I'm your host, Christian, and I'm joined by my good friend slash my co-host, Devin. And today we're here to break down episode 5 of the latest MCU series, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. Episode 5, titled Mean Green and Straight Up Poured Into These Jeans. Straight Poured Into These Jeans.
Not very concise, but it's a title.
Yeah, a very long one. I was actually not kind of happy with this this title. I actually love knowing the titles of specific episodes just because it just gives it more meaning to it. But not a bad title. Again, better than any of the boys from episode 3. Those titles were just a bit too outlandish for me, but it is what it is. But before we begin today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on podcast platforms around the internet. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. And if you are a new or seasoned listener to the show, we would love to hear from you guys. Follow us on Instagram and follow us on Twitter at FilmOptics, or email us at FilmOptics@gmail.com for any movie-related questions. Again, that is Optics with an X. Devin, how you been? Doing good? Chilling?
Yeah, I'm glad the week's almost over. We're almost there.
Almost, man. It's a Thursday. Like, honestly, I mean, I didn't want to say it earlier today when I was working. And I'm like, man, this week's actually going by kind of fast. For some reason, Monday was a little bit of a slow burn, but for me at least. But like the rest of the days have just been flying by. So, I mean, we got some football tonight. We got some football on Sunday, football on Monday. So it's pretty much what my entire week is surrounding right now. But yeah, you've been watching some Harley Quinn season 3 since you finished season 2?
I've not started season 3 yet. It's on the docket.
There's a lot of things on my docket, man. As I said in our House of the Dragon episode 5 review, which is up on the podcast for everyone to listen to, I think I'm going to start Succession. I think so. But actually, before that, I kind of want to start Chernobyl, because I know The Last of Us series is coming up. Not soon, but soon enough in the grand scheme of things. But that is another show I've been meaning to check out. And I know that's a limited series, so kind of blow through that and then head on to something else. Still on like a Cobra Kai high, I guess you could say. But yeah, I think we're going to try out something new to watch at home. Definitely going to watch Chernobyl. Yeah, and I think Succession. I think those are going to be my next two projects I've been working on, because I think season 4 of Succession is coming up here pretty soon. But ladies and gentlemen, as we mentioned before, or as the title of this episode has stated, we are here to review episode 5 of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. Again, it is titled Mean Green and Straight Poured Into These Jeans. Yeah, it's an okay title. Like, I see what they were going for, but I feel like it works better in like song form altogether. But the way how this episode is going to work, we're going to get into our initial reactions, then get to a little bit of spoilers for you guys. No post-credit scene to talk about this week, as there was none, because this is more of a shorter episode. Then we're going to get to our final thoughts, and then we're going to close on out of here. So, Devin, are you ready to jump into our episode 5 review of She-Hulk Attorney at Law?
She-Hulk by Titania.
She-Hulk by Titania. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after this introduction to She-Hulk Attorney at Law, episode 5.
More and more eccentric superhumans are coming out of the woodwork. We're going to launch a division for them.
And I want the She-Hulk to be the face of
it. Jennifer Waters.
Namaste.
I have a serious conflict of interest. This man tried to kill my cousin, Bruce.
Yeah, that's quite all right.
Oh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back with She-Hulk Attorney at Law, episode 5. I don't feel like saying the title again. It's not as bad as the Birds of Prey title, but like, it's just too long to say, and I've already said it like at least 2 to 3 times. So yeah, we are here to give our thoughts about episode 5 of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. This time around, I'm actually going to go first for my initial reactions, and I'll pass it over to Devin. So as far as my thoughts go, I thought that this was another solid entry. Again, I'm kind of lukewarm on this episode. I think it was a very enjoyable episode altogether. It is one of the shorter episodes, if not the shortest episode we've gotten so far. But I will say what I appreciate about this episode is that it feels as if this episode is the most distant that MCU has ever been through, because this is the trial between She-Hulk and essentially She-Hulk, aka Titania. So it has that, you know, courtroom vibe to it altogether. It feels just like a normal episode of television, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I thought this episode was very fun. I thought it was hilarious myself. I felt like everyone was having a good time. I was having a good time watching it, you know, watching it early this morning. And, you know, it sets a few seeds up. They're definitely alluding to, some characters appearing at some point, but it was nice. Like, we really are getting like cases of the week when it comes to the show. And that's what I really enjoy about it, is that, you know, first we had the Emil Blonsky case, after, you know, the whole She-Hulk prologue episode, I guess you could say, for episode 1, then that moved on to the Wong magician case. And now we're dealing with a case that actually involves Jennifer Walters, and we kind of see that unfold a little bit. Like I said, it is more of a lighter episode, but I have fun with it all the same. Just, I guess you could call it like a lukewarm episode, but I do, as I see each and every week, I do appreciate how this episode, it just feels serialized, you know, another case in the books, you know, moving on to the next best thing. And I mean, I guess you could kind of say that Titania will probably end up being the quote unquote villain, or probably the main obstacle that Jennifer will encounter throughout this series. But yeah, I thought it was a very enjoyable episode. Nothing super crazy happened, but nothing really needs to necessarily happen. Like we've talked about, even last week with Devin was saying, you know, you're watching a sitcom because it's funny. You're not watching a sitcom for the story, for the plot line. It's, you know, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, and I can't fault it for that. So, Devin, I'm going to pass it over to you. What are your initial reactions on She-Hulk episode 5?
Yeah, this one was nice, short, and sweet for us. Definitely the shortest so far, and surprisingly no end credit scene. I'm guessing the accounts that mentioned that every episode had one had just only watched the first 4 episodes that were available to them, so they figured that all the episodes had them, but we'll see moving forward. Overall, I enjoyed it. I think last week was definitely the peak episode for me. Definitely the most entertained I've been so far, but this one definitely got the job done. It was cool to finally get a real introduction to Mallory Book, aka Renee Elise Goldsberry's character. Got some Hamilton love in there. I can't believe how, I just looked up her age, and that is unbelievable. She is 51.
Yeah, 51. Hey, you know what they say, black don't crack.
But yeah, it was really cool to get an introduction to her character and then see a relationship start to form between her and Jennifer. And that was a cool moment there. Yeah, another case of the week this time involving her as the actual defendant and being represented by Mallory Book. That was a cool switch up there. I also really like the dynamic between Nikki and Pug. They're little hijinks. They bring some good energy to the show. And I like them going to get a nice suit created for Jennifer. Not revealed yet. No suit reveal yet. They like to save that for a big moment. We'll see when that happens. But it's cool to see that superheroes are so commonplace in the MCU now that there's actually tailors made just for them. Like, it's cool to see how far we've come.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. It definitely feels, I do agree with you. I think last week was probably more of the more exciting episodes, but this is still a very fun episode, like I said before. And, you know, like you said, when it comes to the tailors of these, you know, superheroes out there, you know, it is kind of just second nature now. Like, they are a part of the society, and they seem to have, you know, made a nice little community for them, you know, to fit within our standard boring muggle community there. But yeah, I really did enjoy. I would say when it comes to the post-credit scene, I wish we would have gotten a post-credit scene of Jen's paralegal and what's his face going to get the Iron Man 3. It's like standing in line. That would have been pretty cool. Because we kind of
did get one where it was one of the drawings in the credits. And there was actually a lot of little Easter eggs in that one for some other characters that are coming along at some point.
And also what you said, yeah, when screeners first dropped for She-Hulk, screeners were sent out to critics. We got the first four episodes. I did get the first four episodes, but I kind of wanted to like sit and watch it like for the first time with everyone. For this one. So that's what I did. I was tempted to watch ahead, but that's only because I thought a certain someone was going to pop up. And I was like, yeah, I'll just watch it just to watch it. But they are definitely teasing Daredevil coming back, of course. You know, we do see a lot of hints, or especially within the end of this episode. But yeah, I thought it was a very... I thought it was a very like typical, hey, you know, it's a classic moment for Jennifer to find out that, you know, she is now and forever will be She-Hulk. She has kind of come to terms with that name and that identity.
Yeah, it's almost like there really is some character development happening and people are just choosing to ignore it. I really like the moment. I guess we can get into details, but I like the moment during the trial where she brings in her past dates and the one where she ended up going the furthest with, kind of breaks her heart and says that he would not have done it if it was in Jennifer Walters' form. You can just see the look on her face that she has to kind of realize that, and she looks like it's a little painful for her. So it's cool to see that it has that effect on her. And I was watching, of course, Heavy Spoilers video on it, and he mentions that in the comics it's more commonplace that she prefers staying in She-Hulk form and doesn't like going back to Jennifer Walters form. It's kind of like the reverse in this series, which I think makes it a little bit more nuanced as for her as a character, because she likes to stay normal, but she has to try to learn to accept her new form instead of just living off of it and trying to stay that way. It's a little more difficult for her.
That is very true. And it is that kind of classic battle of, you know, well, you know, I'm two people, you know, in the same body type situation. But I do agree with you there when it comes to, you know, her character development, you know, no matter how big or small it may be. Like I said, this is more of large, big or tall, you know, whether it's Jennifer Walters or She-Hulk, definitely. I feel like there isn't much to like really spoil in this episode. I know from before I said we were going to get into spoilers, but we've kind of already gone to that territory, but there isn't really too much to spoil because it is kind of just a standard, you know, case of the week episode. You know, when and unfortunately things like this do happen when it comes to, you know, branding. It's, you know, this person started using this name first, but they didn't trademark it. So then someone else swoops in and tries to profit off the success of that name recognition. And I really like how, you know, Titania has just come back multiple times. I believe this is her second time so far, so I'm sure this will not be the last time we see of her whatsoever. But I really like, she's kind of like a rival for Jen Walters. Not much of a villain, because I wouldn't peg her as a villain. I would just peg her as like a thorn in Jen's side. Not necessarily like a nosy neighbor, but the Gary to her ass Ketchum, if you will. You know, someone who's always trying to get in the way.
Yeah, I think as far as villain goes, this Todd guy is up to no good. He's a creepy little rich guy doing something.
he's scheming, man. Someone has to be scheming in these shows for sure. But overall, like, I really just enjoy how we're getting, you know, we have four more episodes to go. We've really had a lot of time to breathe with these characters. And I mean, think about it. Like, if this is six episodes, next week would have been the finale, and then we're done. And it's like, I feel like I really hope that, you know, Disney has learned from the six episode arc. You know, we're getting 12 episodes with Andor. I'm hoping for future shows that we hit maybe at least the 8-episode mark, because I feel like that is a really nice sweet spot. Sometimes 9 episodes between 8 and 10, I think, is a very nice mix, definitely. But yeah, it's crazy to think that this would have been the penultimate episode. But again, this is a comedy. There isn't a overarching, you know, like there's always going to be character development within certain sitcoms. Like, you do see character development happen within even like That 70s Show or Boy Meets World, or like you said last week, not necessarily with Seinfeld, because those characters kind of just stay the same throughout. But there are character developments throughout How I Met Your Mother or The Office or Parks and Rec or Community. But at the same time, I'm like, they're there, but it's not the reason why I'm watching. Because, you know, you have to spice it up a little bit, you know, unless you're, you know, the Seinfeld crew who completely stays the exact same throughout, 8-9 seasons. They never change. It is very, I just like how, you know, we don't necessarily, there doesn't really need to be a threat happening. You know, this is just a day in the life of Jennifer Walters doing her thing, doing some lawyer shiz, you know, all that stuff. And just having a good time. And enjoying the ride for what it is. We don't necessarily need, you know, these big battles. We don't need all these heavy action scenes. You know, obviously she is going through some self-discovery, but it's more of like a icing on the cake kind of thing. It's not why I'm watching, but I'm not going to be mad that it's there. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a good time for sure. So let's get into our final thoughts here, Devin. What do you have to say about She-Hulk before we close out here?
Yeah, I'm liking the ride so far. I know there's been a lot of complaints, a lot of toxicity surrounding it, and I'm just happy we're getting this series. And I know Daredevil has been teased officially and obviously will be appearing. I'm not looking forward to that discourse. I'm looking forward to him coming, but I just know he's going to have a comedic tone in a sitcom, which makes complete sense, and people are going to freak out, and that doesn't make sense, but we'll see.
And there actually was an interview with Charlie Cox during D23. I forgot who was interviewing him, but it was like kind of out on like the red carpet area where Charlie Cox was saying, you know, he doesn't necessarily think, well, they're kind of talking about Daredevil Born Again. Obviously for She-Hulk, he is going to have more of a comedic tone, but I mean, he kind of had that in No Way Home. I mean, granted, it was for a super short scene, but I mean, people still laughed. It was his own humor being portrayed onto that movie. But Charlie Cox was saying back to the interview that, you know, he feels like there can be a fine balance when it comes to Daredevil Born Again of him being, you know, like slapstick humor and having his, you know, the Daredevil we all know and love. But I do agree, Devin, I am kind of dreading. I'm excited to see Matt Murdock. I'm excited to see Daredevil. He is one of my favorite superheroes ever. Heck, I used to watch the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie like constantly when I was a kid. But it is what it is, you know. But I'm not looking forward to the discourse around Daredevil, because it's Daredevil is everyone's golden child when it comes to Marvel TV shows, and they're like, oh, you better not be cracking jokes. I'm like, well, he is in a comedy, so I hate to break it to you. He's probably going to be cracking some jokes. It may not be, you know, you know, that's a knee slapper, but it's definitely going to happen. So people just have to deal with it all together.
It's like,
so,
this is a lawyer sitcom, and then they're bringing in another lawyer. Like, first of all, why wouldn't they do that? Like, that's just a perfect fit. And then why wouldn't he have a comedic tone in a comedy? Like, you're just going to derail the whole series just to give him a serious couple scenes? Just doesn't make sense. What is your logic behind that?
There is no logic. And like you said last week, Devin, like I want to understand what the goal is here for people online, specifically like people on Twitter. Like, what is the goal here? Like, why? It's just so odd. Every time we have a female superhero with her own show or her own movie, this stuff always happens. And I'm like, I don't understand why we can't just enjoy it for what it is. And I mean, if you like it, that's great. If you know, that's cool too. But it's like, There's a difference between not liking it and then nitpicking and then like being like a D-bag about it. And it's like, okay, like, I mean, we get it. You don't like it, but you don't have to be like, go out of your way that much to nitpick like every single thing. It's like people are just on Marvel's neck like so much when it comes to these female superhero roles. And I don't understand. God, sorry, you know, Jennifer Walters isn't wearing a skin tight, you know, leotard like, like Scarlett Johansson or, you know, Wanda Maximoff in her early day costumes. And like, they didn't like wearing that stuff. And it was, I mean, it's completely objectifying women when it comes to that. It's like,
yeah, like look at Heavy Spoilers. He's come around. He's in today's video. He mentioned it's just a fun show. He didn't like the first episode, and he mentioned that, and he talked about why he didn't like it. But he's starting to come around, and you just have to realize you have to have realistic expectations for what the show is. That's what it comes down to.
I definitely agree with you there. Yeah, realistic expectations is honestly key, because like you said, she says in the very first episode, this is a fun, cool lawyer show. So that's all it is. You don't need to dig any deeper at all. But that concludes our episode of She-Hulk Attorney at Law, episode 5. Again, we're going to hold out on our ratings of the whole show until the season premiere, or season finale, excuse me, not the premiere, happens. So that will be for episode 9. So definitely stick around for that. So if you liked what you heard on today's episode, you can listen to our podcast on podcast platforms around the internet. And please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform of choice. And make sure to share an episode of our podcast with a friend, whether it be your mother, your brother, your lover, whoever it may be. Make sure to share an episode of the Film Optics podcast with a movie lover in need. Really quick, what is out now? What's coming up on deck? What is out now? We have our Barbarian review and our Orphan First Kill review for those who are looking to start their spooky season a little bit early this year. And we have our Hot D, aka House of the Dragon, episode 1-5 spoiler free reviews. So episode 5 of House of the Dragon, our spoiler free review, should be out by the time you're listening to this episode. Go listen to it. It's a lot of fun. We don't give anything away, hence the term spoiler free. And what is up on deck? We're going to be covering Pearl this coming up week as we close out September. Of course, we're going to be reviewing Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, getting ourselves ready for the new Andor Disney Plus series, as well as by the end of September, you can look forward to our Avatar The Last Airbender Book 3 Fire Series Revisited review. We can definitely check out Book 1 and Book 2 that are up on the podcast right now as well. So with all that said, we hope you guys subscribe. We hope you guys enjoy our content, our podcast, our show. And we hope you guys have a great day. And we'll see you guys next time. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoy the show, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram to stay in the know. That was Devin. My name is Christian. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Peace.